You'll see the notes for this morning. We're continuing on in part two of our series that we started last week on the church still works. And we began looking at this book. I brought it again this week, but it's a book that I've had on my shelf probably for 15 years. I had skimmed through it and read parts of it, but it's an in-depth study of the practices and potential of 21st century local churches, but it's also taken from a national survey of independent Baptist churches, which is what Draper Baptist is. We're an independent Baptist church, and we believe our doctrinal statement, our beliefs come directly from God's Word, and we looked last week at how we differ from the denominational mindset and just kind of looked at what makes a church function. And today we're going to be looking at something else. But if you have your Bibles, you can turn here. That's the only verse we're going to be using is in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And you can just kind of keep your finger there because we'll put the notes in there. But just one verse is kind of what our springboard is this morning. Jesus is talking about us being salt and light, and he says, in the same way, going back to the previous verse, of saying, don't hide your light under a bushel, basically. But he says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. So, Father, we just pray that you would bless our service this morning, bless your words. We pray, Lord, that we would hear what you have to say to us. We pray that we would look at Draper Baptist honestly and be able to maybe make changes that we need to make. Maybe say we need to improve in this area, or these are some areas that we're doing well in. As we go through this study, Lord, just teach us. And Lord, help us not to ever think that we've got all the answers, that we're the only church, or that other churches that don't do it the way we do it are wrong. But Lord, we just thank you that you've gifted us differently. We thank you for the calls that you've given us. And we just pray that we would follow and be obedient to your call on our church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today, we're going to look at some of the vital signs, he calls them in this chapter, or there's two guys actually who write it. But the first one is kind of our scripture of Matthew 5:16, really in a different way of phrasing it. I reposted it this week on social media, but it says, you will not impact the world by faithfully going to church. You're not going to make a difference by being here this morning. You will impact the world by faithfully being the church when you go out into the world. So just being here this morning, if we had 2,000 people here this morning, that we'd feel good about ourselves, and that would be so exciting to get up and to speak to a crowd that size and to have a worship team and all the things that we think about in a large church. But 2,000 people being in a worship service aren't going to impact the world unless those 2,000 people go out and be the church. So this chapter that we're going to be looking at is using the example of a doctor. Many of us have gone to the doctor. Some of you have gone through a lot more serious things than what the average person in church goes. But when you go, you might go with complaint of did nerve damage in my neck years ago, and paying the prices now that I've gotten a little bit older. And I went a year and a half ago, and had them do all these shock things, and that's where they located the thing. But, you know, I complained about my neck, and you know what they did? They took my temperature, they took my weight, they checked my blood pressure. They did all the things, the vital signs that we would call. I'm sure they did that for you on Friday. She was going in for a kidney stone, but they were checking all of her vital signs. And what they do that for is, if you've been to this, like UPMC or Geisinger or wherever you go, they have your records and they know what you were 6 months ago or last time you were there to see them. And they'll compare your blood pressure. They'll compare your weight. Like Martin, they know from month to month what his blood count is. They know what his kidney function was because they keep records of that. They have the vital signs. And for the church, we're going to be asking ourselves some questions. You might not like all the questions that we're asking, you might not like some of the answers. And as we go through this, I'm going to let you be the grade giver this morning. I'm going to have you write down somewhere in your notes, what kind of a grade would you give to Draper Baptist in the areas that we're discussing. Okay, we're going to look at five this morning, and then I'm going to put my grade up on the screen as well. So we might disagree a little bit, and you might think I'm being harsh. You might be harder on the church than what I am, but I figure as the pastor, I probably am going to grade a little bit more stringent and maybe a little bit harder than what you do. And maybe you think when I put my grade up there, you might think we're not anywhere near that grade. You're dreaming that we're that good. But my call to you this morning is don't just be here at church this morning. Go out this week and be the church that we've called or God has called us to be. So the first question is, are people being saved? Are people being saved in and through our church? And I have in your notes what the answer, the first paragraph in this chapter says, the answer is yes, but at an alarmingly low rate. And I have this in here. Our churches see one person per year saved for every four people who attend on Sunday morning. That's the average independent church. So a church our size, 40 to 50 people, we should see maybe 10 people coming to Christ, 10 or 12 people a year coming to Christ. And I think you all know that I have a real passion for the lost. That's part of my gift is evangelism. And I love to share the word of God. I love to share the gospel with people. I love it when people come to Christ. Mark and I celebrated on Tuesday, and I was looking forward to putting this rose up when Mariah made that personal decision to receive a personal Savior. I love that. You know, years ago, I was flown out. Well, we've taken our teens to Dare to Share, which is a national teen convention and training for evangelism. And we decided we're going to hold one here locally. And I had taken my previous youth group to Dare to Share in Columbus. We've gone to Tennessee. We've kind of been in different areas. But about 4 years ago, Dare to Share flew me out to Denver. And I had like a 3-day training with them. And I got to meet Greg Steer and talk to some of the groups that were there singing. Greg has just a passion for the lost, a passion to see young people come to Christ. And they do conferences all around with 3,000 or 4,000 young people in attendance. And they challenge them to go out into their schools and to share the gospel. We came back here and we held the conference. We had several come to know the Lord. I update you all the time when I speak at the Green Home. A couple months ago, we had 6 people pray on a Sunday morning to receive Christ as our Savior. When I did VBS with the other churches in June in town, they asked me if I would be the one who shared the gospel on Thursday night, and we had 9 children pray to receive Christ that night. Last year, I spoke at twice with the Navigators at Mansfield University. That's their Christian club, and I was supposed to go 3 times, but I wasn't able to make the one. But we had it was either 6 or 7 over the two nights that I was there. Prayed to receive Christ and talked to them afterwards and introduced, or they knew the leaders who were there for Navigators, and I was able to share. Tell them what you just did tonight. And they said, we pray to receive Christ. So I always share that with you. We've done several times over the years. We called it the fifth quarter. Our church kind of was responsible for that. But we did a fifth quarter after the homecoming game at Wellsboro High School. And we would have pizza and all kinds of stuff. And we had some games. And we used the gym. They let us use it. Or not the gym, but the administration building, the gym there. And I spoke once. We had Russ spoke once. And we had young people. I think we had 6 or 7 guys from the football team and a couple cheerleaders the one night that I spoke, and then plus the number of students had come to Christ. So we probably over the years for that, we probably had 25 or 30 kids come to Christ. And we always share about what God is doing through us. I forgot. Russ, what was the name of the man you led to Christ, and then you did his funeral? What was your friend that you led to Christ before? Was it Remo? Cheryl and I were. I said Cheryl this morning. What was his name? Cheryl thought Rich. I said no, and I had Nemo in mind. And I knew it. Nemo wasn't right. It was a clownfish. But Remo, if you remember, how many people were here when Russ came back? Probably not a whole lot of you. Russ came back from the time that he went down to visit Remo, and we were praying for Remo for a long time. Remo had cancer, and Russ was up here sharing, and Russ isn't usually an emotional guy, but he got a little bit emotional. Remember, he reached down, and he put the rose up, and we all just, the place went crazy for Baptists. We went, people, I think some people clapped. That was going crazy. No, people said, amen. We were so thrilled to hear that when Russ had led this man who was not going to last much longer, he led him to Christ. And that was just one of the biggest thrills in ministry to see that and to see Russ's emotions about leading this man to Christ. But we know that the proof of the gospel being shared and people coming to Christ is not the work of the pastor. Okay? So I want you to understand, as we look to grade Draper Baptist Church, it's not just people that Pastor Ron has led to Christ or people that have come to Christ through the ministry, the outreach of our church. Most people are not going to come in to church to receive Christ. That's not where the statistics are going to come from. It happens. We've had people over the years, we've had people this year pray to receive Christ in our church service, but the work is done with that previous slide. It's you going out as the church, impacting your community that way. There are always people coming to Christ throughout our area. It's not always through us here at the church building. So what we're looking at as we look at this, are people being saved not in our church services, but are people being saved through the ministry of our people being the church? I want to play a clip for you, which some of you might not think it's really appropriate, because it's from Schindler's List. How many have seen Schindler's List? Okay, it's the closing scene. And I remember the first time I saw this, I had tears in my eyes, not just because of the impact of Schindler saving 1,100 to 1,200 Jews, but he makes a comment. You'll be able to see it. It's going to be large enough letters for everybody to see in our closed caption here. But I want you to ask yourself, have I done enough for the lost around me? That's what this point is. He says, I haven't done enough. I haven't done enough. Listen to this, and I want you to think about hearing those words and having the people that, let me put it this way. I probably led several hundred to Christ in my ministry and in my life as a teenager. But I want you to think about the vast number of people that I had opportunity to lead to Christ and I didn't. And I want you to think about that. I want you to think about the people you've led to Christ, but behind them, I want you to picture the people that you were too fearful to talk to. Okay? I haven't done enough.
As peace occurs, I want that cloth distributed to the workers. 2.5 meters each. Also, each person is to get a bottle of vodka. They won't drink it. They know its value. Likewise, those Egyptian cigarettes we organized.
It'll be done, everything you ask.
We've written a letter trying to explain things in case you were captured. Every worker has signed it.
Thank you. is Hebrew from the Talmud. It says, whoever saves one life saves the world entire.
Idea. If I just...
There will be generations because of what you did.
I didn't do enough.
You did so much.
This car. Good, what about this car? Why did I keep the car? 10 people right there. 10 people. 10 more people. This pin. 2 people. This is gold. 2 more people. He would have given me 2 for it. At least 1. He would have given me 1. 1 more. 1 more person. For this, I could have become one poor person, and I didn't.
I still get teary-eyed watching that, and I hope you did too. I hope you get a little bit emotional thinking about the people that you could have led to Christ that you didn't. I don't ever want to stand before, and I've told you people at school that I could have witnessed to, Rich Cook, the guy who got killed playing baseball the summer before my senior year, and I never once talked to him about Christ, and I hate to think about standing in front of people and say, I could have gotten one more. Like I've gotten 10 more. I should have gotten 10 more. Not that I would have led them to Christ. It's not that Ron Hagee was going to be their savior. But I didn't share the gospel. one of the most powerful scenes to me is that as I could have led more to Christ. What kind of a grade? Put down, write down a grade that you would give Draper Baptist answering that question. Are we seeing people saved? Are we doing our part as a church? And here's my grade. I gave us a B. We are seeing people come to Christ, and it's not happening at our church, but I believe our church is sharing the gospel. Can we improve? Absolutely. Absolutely, we can be improving. I can be improving. But that's the grade I think we can say. We have room to improve. We need to see people. And it's not, again, we're not leaving it up to Pastor Ron to represent our church at the Green Home and at the Navigators and VBS. It's you guys who need to do it out in the day-by-day work world. You need to be sharing the gospel, and we need to be doing a better job of doing that. Letter two. Number two, are new converts being baptized? Again, these are questions in the book. I don't necessarily agree that these are all great questions, but the statistics that they use say only 27% of people who come to Christ follow the Lord in obedience in baptism. So that means 73% of people are not doing what God has called them to do. We know the Great Commission says, go out and teach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So we know that the command is there that people should be getting baptized, but we're not seeing a whole lot of people baptized here. Let me say about our situation. We don't see that many people coming to Christ here. And when we have six or seven young people in the Navigators come to Christ, I turn those names over. The leaders follow those up. And these are students from all over the area, from New York, Pennsylvania, different places going to Mansfield. So they're not going to necessarily come to Draper. The older people who come to Christ at the Green Home aren't going to go to church anywhere. Most of them are in wheelchairs or walkers, and they don't get out anywhere to church. So we're not going to see them baptized. The students that came to Christ at VBS this summer are not going to come to church here because they're followed up by the churches in town. But when we lead someone to Christ, we need to encourage them to follow the Lord. That's the next step. And we don't often do that. And I don't make a big deal because I assume most people here are baptized. We've had some people over the years who we talk about baptism, and had several came to me, and Bonnie Clark is one. Bonnie and Carl said they weren't baptized because they had the fear of water. And I said, well, we'll make some kind of an exception. We'll get you baptized. And they just didn't do it. But I've had people to say that I don't want to do it. I don't want to stand in front of people. I don't want to give a testimony. I don't want to meet with the pastor. They come up with reasons, but we need to encourage people to follow the Lord because that is obedience. So I appreciate the five who are going to be baptized today. And I'm looking out, if it's raining, just if it's raining a little bit, we'll be fine. If it's thundering, I'll let Russ baptize them. we'll make some kind of other plan for that one. But I'm going to let you put a grade down for this one. Are people being baptized? Here's my grade. I give us a C. We are seeing people come to Christ, and we have seen people baptized. I think the last one baptized was Amy. I baptized Paige. I baptized all three of my kids over the years. But Paige, and she was baptized. I can't remember the other girl's name who was baptized with her. But we've baptized people. And by the way, we can't use our baptistry anymore because it just doesn't function. I am looking at and have looked at over the years a portable baptistry. It's like a big rubber tub that's heated. You just keep it filled and just heat it when you want to use it. And that would be up here on our platform, which would be a nice thing to do. I'm not sure exactly. I can't remember the cost on those. It's not exorbitant, but they are pretty expensive. But we need to see people being baptized, and I would love to see us doing it every quarter, seeing people coming to Christ and coming baptized. There's a lot of churches, the morning, if someone walks the aisle, they're baptized that day. I don't want to do that. I think people need to go through and understand that what believer's baptism means. What does baptism by immersion mean? Going under. Mariah didn't know the term immersion. I said, Mariah, would you want me to immerse your phone? She goes, I don't know what it means. And I said, you won't want me to immerse your phone. That means being dunked. And I've told you the only time that I didn't do a baptism by immersion was in China. When a girl came to me and I baptized a Chinese student, that was for convenience, but it was also for safety. If anybody had seen me baptizing a Chinese person, they would have been arrested and possibly killed for that. So that was the only reason I didn't do baptism by immersion. But I don't know what kind of grade. You might give us a D. I don't know. Don't give us an A or a B, because we're not doing the job that the book says we should be. Number three, are baptized converts becoming devoted Christians and active members and servants in the church. The independent Baptist churches, again, this is the study that was done, only 18% of people who are baptized stay in the church and pick up a ministry. The authors remind us that the Great Commission says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. See, that's what discipleship is. And here's an area, I don't know if I have it in your notes, I think it's an area we need to improve. That's what I put in your notes, an area we need to improve. I have, and I know the leadership have encouraged discipleship over the years. We've encouraged small groups. We've encouraged men's and women's interest groups. Our ladies, our older ladies, meet every other Tuesday now, which is not really for a Bible study, but at least they're doing something. They're doing the sewing and knitting and crocheting, and I don't know what all they do. But it's an interest group. I'd like to see the men do that. I'd like to see the men have a small group. I'd like to see Holmes Bible studies. I'd like to see a small group meeting here. I'd like to see us increase our Sunday school classes, not just have one adult class, but have four or five adult classes, different options. And obviously, we would need to grow in order to do that. I'd like to see a teen ministry. I want to see us have youth being encouraged to walk and follow the Lord. But we're not seeing people really getting involved in ministry. The majority of our people come Sunday mornings, and that's it. There's a lot of men, and a lot of people do some other jobs outside of church. I don't mean their work, but I mean do ministry for the church. But overall, we're not seeing people really tying in through discipleship and through service. I give us a C in this. We have people serving, and we appreciate people who serve, but we need to get people becoming fully devoted followers of Christ. Number four, and I have in your notes, I don't think this is a great vital sign for small independent Baptist churches. Most independent Baptist churches, as we said last week, are about 100 people. And it's if you have the ability to do this, if you're at 250, 300, 400 people, then you might consider doing a church plant. Obviously, we're not looking to plant a church here at Draper Baptist. We want to grow Draper Baptist first and then see what God has in store for us. It's a great idea if you can do it, but I've never personally been part of a church plant. I've never been involved in a church that has done that. We talked about it in our last church in Corny. But there were always little small churches popping up, and we just didn't see the reason to knock them out. We could have done it because we had enough people who were serving, and we had some people who were well-known in the area who would have done a great job. We didn't want to knock out other small startup churches. But I've had friends who've done some startup churches and church plants, and it's great. It enables your church family. If we were 300 or 400 people, we would need more places for people to serve. And doing a partner plant would give your church an opportunity to go out and serve. We need some new Sunday school teachers in this church. We need some new youth workers in this church. We need a new board over in this church. So it gets people an opportunity to serve. The grade I gave this, and I don't know what you're going to give us, but write down something. And I just put not applicable for us yet. Is that something down our in our down the road in our future? Possibly. But I don't think that's a good measuring rod to see how your church is doing. All right? The authors would disagree with me on that. But again, they're looking at small independent churches, independent Baptist churches, and it is difficult to do a startup church. The last one, and hopefully your grading might come up a little bit on this one. Are we evangelizing outside of the U.S.? I've had people say this is the strongest ministry in our church. I believe we've come a long way in the last 16 years as we've added missionaries, as we've focused on missionaries, as we've added missionaries to our prayer list, as we do the missions moment each week. But when I came to the church, I asked the board at that point 16 years ago, what was our missions budget of the church? And I think it was like about 3%, which to me was unheard of for a Baptist church. I couldn't believe we were not higher than that. And I told the church, told the board, I said, I would like it to be at 25% in my first 10 years. We haven't gotten there yet. I think we're 18, 19%. We talked about this maybe a little bit more since we've raised them a little bit. But I would like to see us supporting every missionary at 100%. Wouldn't that be awesome if we could do that and just say, man, we're going to support the Talmans at 100%. They don't need to go find any other churches to support them. We're going to support them. We could support the Hawes because they're a local family. We're going to support them at 100%. That would be great. Obviously, we're not able to do that, but I believe we are doing well with this, and we increase our missions budget every year, and I would always like to give more. So as you look at the vital signs at Draper Baptist, I can tell you, I believe we're alive. They talk about a lot of dead churches in this chapter or in this book. Our heart is beating. Our spiritual heart is thumping. We're poised for growth. We are there, but they talk about, and they don't name them by name. They give some states and cities. They say there's a lot of churches that are either on life support or have already died. They say some independent Baptist churches, it's hard to find a spiritual pulse. I think if they came here, they would look at us and say, our vital signs are pretty good. We're not dead. We're not dying. We need improvement. We need some new blood. And we say that we need new blood in our church. We need some young people. We need some children. We need some families with young kids coming to our church. But this is an area, and this is a grade I gave us an A in missions. I think we are doing a good job. We can always improve that. But you know that missions and evangelism are my focus. So whether you agree with my grades of the church or not, I trust you would say that we're a healthy church. But today we're having a baptism service, and that's just part of what we do as a church. We're doing that. This is going to be the first one this year. I said I'd like to see us be doing this at least several times a year, if not monthly. But we are a fully functioning, heart-beating body of Christ. And as I had as my goal in youth ministry, and I spoke at different conferences, and I had to write up an article one time about what should be a goal for ministry. And I was doing it as a youth pastor, but I said my goal as a youth pastor, and I think our staff used to evaluate this every year, was to produce reproducers. To produce reproducers. We wanted to see young people come to Christ. And then we wanted to see them discipled and trained and part of a ministry that was thriving, was exciting, and that they felt great bringing their friends out to. And then they would lead their friends to Christ. I mentioned our SALT team, our student action leadership team. No, I'm sorry, our leadership team, our power team, praying, obeying, and witnessing for eternal results. We came up with those names. I had a leader who always hated acrostics. They said, I can't stand the things you come up with. But That was a power team. We literally had a power team, guys who lifted, guys who did karate, guys who did all kinds of different demonstrations. And then we would go out in the community and we'd see kids come to Christ. And I would do the devotional and do the message at these things. But the power team was trained, and they would go out among the crowd of maybe it was 100, 150 kids, and they would go out and they'd say, what did you think about what the pastors have said tonight? And they would lead them to Christ. And I want to see our church do that. I want to see our church be a power team. I want to see us producing people who are going to lead others to Christ. And that is your job. I need to be the leader, and I need to be the one who's training you and challenging you, but you need to be that power team. You need to be the ones that's going out and producing eternal results. You need to be reproducing in your life. Let's never have it said about us, or let's never say it about ourselves. I could have done more. I could have, if I just reached one more. If I had, and again, I'm going to be honest with you. There's times when I know when I'm standing before the Lord, and I don't think it's going to be this way. If I see the few people that I led to Christ and know the multitude that I didn't even share with, I'm going to be thinking, Ron, you were so busy. You were so negative. You were so judgmental in that person's life. Or you thought that person would never come to Christ. You didn't bother witnessing. Or you thought, man, that person's too lost for me to even share with. I don't ever, ever want to have it said about me. And I hope you don't want it either. He could have done more. If he had just given a little bit more. If he just said something. If he had just started the conversation. And then let me take the gospel presentation from there. He could have reached more. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for your great commission to go into the world and teach your word and to teach them what we know to be true and to share the gospel with people who are lost. Lord, that's my greatest fear, is to stand before you and have you say, Ron, you could have reached another. Ron, why didn't you share the gospel with this person? Ron, why didn't you take the time to love this person when I love them enough to die for them. Lord, give us our church, each one here. Help us to take seriously that commission from you, but also the challenge today to be part of our power team, our praying, our obeying, witnessing, leaving the eternal results to you. Lord, I pray that you would give us that spirit of power and not fear. And Lord, help us to see many people coming to Christ. Help us to see people tying into our ministry. Help us to see more and more being baptized and following you in obedience in baptism. And then, Lord, that we are producing reproducers. In Jesus' name, amen.